Hello and welcome to the Surface Tension Podcast. My name is Alex. My co-host over here is Craig. We are going to be exploring deep questions and looking for deep answers to spiritual questions and questions about life in general. We're happy to have you here, and here we go.
Hi, welcome to our podcast. I'm giggling because we're just going to grip it and rip it. And you mentioned John Daly. We both had this image of just loud mouth short. I was the company that sponsored his clothes because it was just so outlandish, right?
Yeah.
And just, I feel like, I mean, he weighs like, what, 280? I feel like he takes his shirt off sometimes on the golf course.
Yeah, you know, he's been thrown out of a Mulligan's Family Fun Center once or twice for being belligerently hammered and hitting the range with his shirt off, a cigar in mouth, and maybe yelling at somebody else's kids.
But we're just going to grab the driver, and we're just going to swing Happy Gilmore, and we're just going to try to hit this thing as far down the fairway. Sorry for the sports analogies for those of you that don't follow golf or some silly movies like we do. In all seriousness, let's identify, before we get into our topic, let's identify some of the people who we look at in culture with disdain, other people that are frustrating. And I will give you two. There's two categories of just people that I can look at. One of them is drivers. I just drove back from Phoenix the other day, and some of the people driving were absolutely crazy, so dangerous. It makes your heart stop, takes your breath away. Coaches that have mistreated my children when they were younger. We could probably make a long list of people that make us frustrated in culture. We look at them and we just go, gosh, and we have certain feelings or non-feelings towards them. And recently you had a bit of an epiphany because you kind of wrote to one of these groups of people something, and then you realized, what if I'm writing this to myself? What if I could direct this to myself?
Oh, there's truth in the things that we find off-putting about others that is so much more true of us than we're ever willing to stand and face. I hate that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I like being the one who's the good guy. We all do.
Yeah.
Nobody's the bad guy in their own story. Hopefully not.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty rare. But I was journaling the other day, something that I'm trying to get back into, because I've found that my thoughts have been less coherent. I've had less flow in the way that I think, speak, and move in the world. And I think that's a product of my overconsumption. I'm chronically online. Some people know this about me, other people don't. But it's really fragmented the way that I experience all things, including myself. But I was journaling the other day and I wrote, recently I've had randoms approach me while I'm walking my dog to tell me about X, Y, and Z.
So random people just coming up to you, spouting something, right, that, whatever.
Just a flurry of unsolicited takes on everything. They have no idea that I disagree with them on just about everything and that I find them idiotic, childish, and or deranged. They never ask me anything about my views, so I offer nothing. I feign ignorance, nod, and say, oh, wow, and that's really something. I used to engage with these people and try to ask decent questions to get them to reflect, but now I treat these people the same way I treat children or those with mental disorders. I feel bad for these types, but no longer feel motivated to help, which probably isn't good. Perhaps I'm just burnt out and will eventually find the energy to care for these lost individuals again. I honestly hope this is a temporary posture. How do other people do it? And that's what I ended on. I said, do you view others that you disagree with disdain, disgust, dismissiveness, pity, compassion, or something else? I read this to you this morning, and then quickly thereafter, I changed the perspective of the writer and was very grateful that this is not how Jesus looks at me. Recently, I've had Alex approach me while I'm walking in the world to tell me about X, Y, and Z. Just a flurry of unsolicited takes on everything. He has no idea that I disagree with him on nearly everything and find him idiotic, childish, and or deranged. He never asks me about my views, so I offer nothing. I feign ignorance and nod and say, "Oh, wow," and that's really something. I used to engage with Alex and try to ask decent questions to get him to reflect, but now I treat him the same way I treat children or those with mental disorders. I feel bad for him, but no longer feel motivated to help, which probably isn't good. Perhaps I'm just burnt out and will eventually find the energy to care for him again. I honestly hope this is a temporary posture.
And those words are so powerful. Thank you for having the courage to share it with me and with our audience. And one of the things that was striking, if I heard you correctly, you were kind of musing, wondering, curious if that's the way that you are really interacting with yourself right now.
Yeah. Writing is so revealing. I'll probably listen to this episode today, later this week, as I'm preparing it for publishing, and recoil that I was so forthright with what's actually going on in my inner world. But it doesn't serve me to pretend that I'm somewhere else. It really doesn't. It doesn't serve any of us to pretend that everything's okay in how we're viewing ourselves, in how we're viewing other people, in our relationship with God. That's not a real relationship. There is no growth that comes from playing a character. And there's no love that comes to us when people worship or enjoy the character that we're playing. Jesus doesn't love the role we play. He loves us. He wants to love us, but oftentimes we extend the same level of acting. Gets in the way of most things.
Thank you again for sharing that, because not only have you shared a peek into your heart, you've shared us with us a little glimpse of how we process ourselves in a way. And even, you know, the authenticity you bring, and we talk about this, we've talked about this in past episodes as well, is so beautiful and refreshing. And I'm jealous and it scares me at the same time, because I clap at your courage and then I question myself, saying, I don't know if I have the courage to be that authentic. So thank you. And if you're sitting here listening to this, judging those who are authentic, realize something that Alex just realized, that the judgments he was levying on the world around him were the judgments he had already levied on himself. That if you're judging someone for being authentic, you've already condemned yourself in the exact same way.
Hmm.
If we have any response other than gratitude and celebration for the authenticity of someone else, then we're in trouble. When someone is authentic, when they're vulnerable, we need to meet that with such gratitude and celebration that creates space for them and for us to continue in that lane. The judgments that we levy on the people around us are ones that we've probably shared with ourselves. And it creates, when we judge the world around us, it creates this kind of ugly, unhealthy paradigm of life that we can get trapped into. But what I want to get back to is some of the ways that you phrased an experience of life. Can you just revisit that for a second? Because you, if we were to describe that, what words would we be using to describe some of your feelings and experiences there?
I'm trying to pinpoint what you're asking, what part you're asking about specifically, but I would kind of point to this as like a compassion burnout and just being like really tired and really frustrated and not seeing proper ways forward for other people, for myself, feeling just kind of overwhelmed and thus pretty checked out. Being like, well, none of this is fixable. The only correct thing to do is go laissez-faire and do less. Yeah. Do less. Not in a way that's, you know, there's two different ways to do less. There's getting out of the way and letting God do his work, or there's I'm removing myself from the situation because my heart is not full of love.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing that again. And there's, to me, there's almost two different paths to get to that place. When you were describing it, what I heard in my mind was the word hollow. There's a hollow feel. It's the way I describe myself sometimes. I just feel hollow. Mm-hmm. I feel like kind of empty, not a lot to give, not a lot to spend in terms of energy listening or caring or being concerned. I even loved your honesty in saying, I used to ask questions and help people think, and now I just let them blah, 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 and just talk.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost a despondency that can come upon us all, where we have somehow lost our value, the value of the people around us, and it happens to all of us. And it seems to me that there's two different journeys to that same place, that hollow place.
What do they look like?
Well, to me, let's call one Jimmy John and the other one Saint John, if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's go.
Jimmy John makes a decent sandwich. You know, it's not the highest quality meat, but anyhow, we're not sponsored by them, so we don't need to worry about being honest about a sandwich company. Jimmy John dabbled a little bit too much in the flesh and created some hollowness because of his own choices, because of his, minor or major recklessness. And he finds himself in a hollow place as a result of maybe having disconnected with God, maybe disconnecting from himself, disconnecting from other people. And then Saint John, on the other hand, finds himself in that same hollow place, but not because of a recklessness, maybe because it was a pursuit of good things, trying to be good, maybe trying to be good on his own power.
Mm-hmm.
Saint John of the Cross actually wrote a book, and that's why I call it Saint John, about the dark night of the soul, where he found himself in this hollow, desperate, almost emotionless, loveless, compassionless place, not as a result of wild living, but as a result of pursuing God, and for some reason it wasn't working.
Hmm.
He was doing all of the spiritual disciplines that he was supposed to. He was reading the Bible, and he was praying and fasting and tithing and doing all of these things, and he still found himself in this hollow place. So we're having lunch with Jimmy John and Saint John, and we say, what are we supposed to do with that, boys? What do we do with that if there's two different paths to a similar experience of disconnection, disengagement from ourselves and the world around us? What do we do with that? How do we process that?
I think we should probably stop and realize that a state like this isn't out of bounds. It happens to all of us. And the way out is, the way in's different, but the way out's the same. And the way out's a person.
You need to probably say that again, because that was very insightful.
We all find ourselves in this place, sometimes more often than we'd like. And the way in for us looks different, but the way out looks the same. And the way out is a person.
So if we are talking about an encounter, a relational encounter, a conversation with Jesus, does the conversation with Jimmy John and St. John look the same, or is it different?
You tell me.
I just love to create space with the question. I kind of think it's a little bit different, a little bit. Again, we visit this parable so often, the prodigal son. His conversations with them were very different.
Mm-hmm.
With Jimmy John, who runs off and experiences wild living, the father ran to and embraced and says, "You're my son." The Saint John, who stayed at home and tried to do everything right, but still was disconnected from the heart of the Father, he says, "You are always with me. All I have is yours." You told me one of your good friends, who is a person of great means, said to you the other day, "Hey, what can I do? What do you need? Whatever you need, whatever you need." And that creates such interesting space in our heart and our minds. Like, wow, there's someone who cares and has means that can actually help some life and ministry move forward. Wow, what do we do with that? But I think the come to Jesus conversation with Jimmy John and St. John are a little different.
That's fair. And the prodigal is, what a beauty of a story to reset on. And it just gains more relevance over time. Like, you find that that story just applies in deeper ways to more situations than we could ever really appreciate. Sometimes we find ourselves in older brother / St. John in that role. Other times we're the prodigal. But that always leaves space for us to be surprised by the Father.
Yes.
I'm always surprised by the Father. So I'm authoring this journal entry, and I'm feeling really down and out and just self-indicting and just being like, gosh, like, I've been in such good lanes where I've cared for people, even if I've disagreed with them. But now I feel like, what's the point? I'm not changing hearts. I'm not changing minds. What good is my effort? I'm so frustrated by this. But that mirrors the frustration with my own life to varying degrees. But it was beautiful just to be sitting here with you before we hit the old record button, reading that to you, and then all of a sudden, the Father has entered the chat and says, well, what if we make you the subject of this rather than, let's make you the recipient rather than the protagonist. Let's make you the antagonist of this story. Just read through it and see what it looks like. And it just highlights Jesus so much. And makes me so grateful that he doesn't run out of patience, that he's not bored by me, that he's not had enough of me, ready to write me off. Said, oh gosh, Alex sure is hopeless. Looks like he's back in this territory. Well, he's never going to learn. Time to cut him loose. He's off the roster. Thank God Jesus doesn't operate like
that's so good.
I operate.
That's so good. Because even if we try to fast forward the story of the prodigal son and say, he's at home with the father. He's been at home with the father for 8 months now, and he's starting to feel hollow and compassionless and loveless, and he starts asking questions about significance and meaning. For some reason, just the entertaining of those questions and the state of our emotions in that moment can make us feel like the Father wants to have no part of us. We might be hiding from Him in our own house.
Hmm.
So you have a returned Jimmy John still hiding from the Father in his own house. How does the Father feel about that?
He gets it to some degree. He might not be happy about it, but he certainly understands it.
Yeah. But it's, and to me, it's so interesting. Adam and Eve in the garden, they sinned, they felt shame, they hid.
Mm-hmm.
This story, we feel hollow, we feel compassionless, loveless, we hide. Isn't that interesting that we take a normal human emotion and experience? Even St. John on the cross, he probably felt like, wow, what's broken inside of me? Because I'm having emotions that are disconnected to my heart and my behavior. What do I do with this? Maybe we just sit next to the fireplace with the Father.
Well, it does feel pretty disqualifying in some ways to feel the absence of love. Like, it's especially when you're in, I don't know, a podcasting seat or a leadership role. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're on your walk, you have a ministry and you are called to be good and you're called to be loving. And nobody wants to. If you know what it's like to be in a really positive lane of compassion and be in semi-lockstep with Jesus, when you're out of it, it's like, oh gosh, I don't want anybody to know. Or I'm going to try to at least fake it. And that just makes it worse. That makes it so much worse.
It almost doubles the speed of the drain, the burnout. If there was anything left in the tank, it just... evaporates.
But we don't give ourselves permission. God gives us permission to feel burnt out. And he says, come rest with me. But we don't give ourselves permission to do that. I mean, how many people out there are white knuckling it in a posture of, I am loving, but they're just like so drained. I keep gaining deeper appreciation through this journey of this podcast and spending time with you of like, oh my gosh, like being in a spiritual leadership role of sorts, this is something. This is really something. But we're all spiritual leaders. If you're a Christian, you're a spiritual leader, whether you have, whether you're in front of a podium or wherever you're at. So this is, as you would like to say, this is an all play. I don't even know where to go with this, but it is kind of refreshing to just calibrate and say, because there's people who have accused me in recent history of being in a really, really great lane. And I'm like, I'm not. Like, I'm not as much as you're saying.
Yeah. And we can all experience that. We can look like we're doing in a much better lane than we are because I got in trouble when I was a senior pastor of a church. I got in trouble one week because I think maybe we even talked about this 100 podcasts ago or something, which is amazing. Thank you, God, for that.
Yes.
But my emotions got the best of me on a Sunday morning, and I just decided to stand up and just share authentically of just where I was at, and that was wrong. when I was called on the carpet for not being professional. And I don't know, right or wrong. Maybe they were right. Maybe I was wrong, vice versa. I have no idea. But that was the experience. And it's so interesting how, especially for leaders who are, be professional, it's always make it look like you are in a certain way. And how wonderful it is when someone comes along and says, I'm just tired. I think I need some, I think I've been giving a lot and I need to have Jesus pour more into my tank. Nick Vujicic, if you don't know who he is, no arms, no legs. He is this unbelievable ambassador of light and joy and hope. He has no arms and no legs. And he is still this person that says God is good. And God is writing a good story for your life. And anytime you find someone who's holding tenaciously onto the goodness of God when their life seems to suck from the outside, and they still believe that God is writing a good story, it's like, wow, lean in and learn as much as you can. And he was locally at a church speaking. And it was so refreshing because he said, there's a lot of pressure on me to be the joy guy, to be the happy guy. He said,
I bet.
I'm not in a great place right now. And I don't know if I really know even what to do with it. And he had one of these, Craig sermons where instead of staying on script, he went off script and said, I'm going to go off script and on heart. This is where I am. And I'm sure people walked out of there going, oh man, that kind of sucked. I needed to get my joy fix from this other guy's faith. And I needed to, really get lit up or get high on someone else's joy or connection with God. And I wasn't able to do that. But boy, what did he do for that room full of ministers? It's okay. I'm going to give you permission. I'm going to give you permission to be tired. I'm going to give you permission to be sad. I'm going to give you permission to feel hollow and maybe even share that with some other people and maybe find Jesus in the midst of it.
I feel like it levels up a church so much when the pastor is a real person.
Yes.
When they're not playing the character of the guy who's got it all figured out, who's unbothered because he's so lockstep with the Father. Recently, I was at a Sunday service where the pastor said, I have things that I'm not willing to share when I'm up on the stage. I have pieces of me that God is still working on. And he referenced the prodigal, and I was just floored by that. It probably made some people uncomfortable, though.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's totally okay.
Right.
That's part of maybe something that they need to feel. Maybe they do need to feel a little bit of discomfort. We all need to feel discomfort to grow and to love and learn how to receive love better.
Yes. I love the cliche that I've heard about Jesus before. I hate that it's a cliche. I hate that I've heard it so much that it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's a cute little phrase. There's so much truth to it. Jesus came to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable.
Sounds about right.
The Pharisees, he came just to put a rock in their shoe and to stir their pot a little bit and say, you guys, the operating system needs some tinkering with. And until your computer crashes a couple of times, you're not going to realize, let me help you understand that. Maybe if you're wise and you're truly seeking after the Father's heart, you can experience an update before your computer crashes.
Mm-hmm.
But your computer's going to crash. If you keep going, it will crash. It'll either crash temporally or cosmically in some big way in the end times. And Jesus loved people enough to say, I don't want your computer to crash. Come to me. Spend time with me. Be honest. This Henry Nouwen phrase we've used before, fully received, I want you to come to be fully received. We cannot come and pretend with Jesus. Oh, hey, there you are, Sparky. Let's put on a fake church smile and pretend everything's okay with our time with Jesus.
Well, that's something that you've highlighted, I think, on the podcast, but certainly off, is there's two elements to it, to be fully known and then to be fully received or fully loved in being fully known. Because being fully known is mortifying if you know that you're not going to be fully loved on the other side of it. And that keeps people from ever extending.
Yes.
In the direction of being fully known, yes, both with God and with other people.
Yes. And what a great gift we can give to people when they start sharing pieces of their heart, their mind, their soul that they don't share with many people, and you receive that well. Good for you. Thank you. That took a lot of courage to share. I'm going to celebrate that. I'm going to be grateful for that. I know you more, and if I know you more, I can love you. If you don't share who you are, I mean, even on our vulnerability episode a couple of weeks ago, we both talked about how there's parts of us that we don't really want to share with each other. How cool would our relationship be if we had full rein into all parts of us?
I feel like you're putting on a masterclass of how to receive authenticity, because put somebody else in the chair across from me right now, I tell the same story. There's somebody who's saying, "Oh, that's terrible. You've lost the right to podcast. We're done." I mean, it's funny, but at the same time, there's probably people that would vote me off the island and say, "Well, we're this many podcasts in. You're actually a bad guy. Like, what is this even about? Like, you're fired, or our friendship's over." I hope that there aren't people who are that quick to dismiss, and I'm glad that you have a close relationship with Jesus that you can share with me what it's like to be received in a conversation in real time. It's so rare and it's so refreshing. And I hope that the people listening to this probably key in more on your reception than my sharing. Because if I go back and listen to this and I say, "Oh gosh, look at all that vulnerability and sharing," the more impressive part is the way that you've received it, because there's more, I see more Jesus coming in your reception than I do with my disclosure.
That's a great observation. And I'll have to say along with you, thank you to God for doing that in me and through me. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I hear information and I see something and my heart automatically goes to a judgmental place. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit's like, "Hey, let's ask some questions before you jump on that judgment train that's speeding along the highway." Train tracks, I guess it would be. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that as I've grown older, I've discovered that relationship with the Father, that's his response to me. It's not, "How could you get away from here? Come back when you're cleaned up. Goodness." And clean that up on your way out. Your muddy shoes have left some dirt. Oh, but he says, "Come, muddy shoes and all. You're welcome." We hope and pray that you were blessed by something in our podcast. I was blessed by this conversation. My guess is some other people may be as well. Thank you for, again, the courage of acknowledging where you're at, where your thoughts are at, where your emotions are, where you are at in a moment, and how that's impacting your interaction with the world around you. And then realizing, wow, what if this interaction with the world around me is just a reflection of my attitude and my heart's disposition towards myself? That needs to change. I can't change that myself. Jesus is the only one that can change that. And then encountering him and receiving something different allows us to share something different. And all of that came from you. So thank you. And thank God for orchestrating this. And we also want to thank the people of Go Ministry International for supporting our podcast, the Beach Walk. There's a couple of walks in this area in Orange County that you can email us. We'll tell you exactly where and when to show up so you can join us and we can talk together about Scripture. This doesn't have to be just a concept. Oh, there's a vulnerability, an authenticity. There's a place of love out there. It doesn't have to be possible. It can be a reality, and it's just called a loving Christian community and friends. And so we invite you to do that. We thank the people who have sponsored our podcast. We hope and pray that something here that has blessed you, you will use to bless the people around you. And maybe you want to bless the people around you by just living this out. Maybe you want to bless them by sharing with them the podcast. That would be cool too. But all we want to do is try to be servants and try to be a blessing to your life, helping you take a step or two closer to the heart of the Father. So thank you for joining us. Have a great day.